B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
It's esoteric. Let's start with the ugly guy first. First up, Tony Mazz. You look better in a goldie mask. I'm glad I hear you and I see you with your homely ass. You a Yankees fan, man, that disturbs me. You're worth it, worth less than a Zolak jersey.
I'm right there with you.
Sup, Zoe? I guess you kinda went pro. You got a show, cause every game in the 90s you had front row. And Mark Bertrand Beetle, I saw it firsthand. Donuts, he all about dunking like a Spurs fan. Wallach, he ain't smart, reading stats of laptops. Looking like an eagle, he could be the BC mascot. Cut the mic on Michael Felger, Brighton Ernie kid. I'm a son of kind of like Michael Hurley did. Your hot takes are kind of cold instead. Jimmy Hayes had you shaking in your Nantucket Reds. Is it Big Jim Murray or Bald Jim Murray? Hat always on his dome. He's unknown like Adam Jones. Piece of TNR. I'm going to let him slide because I got nothing written. Just kidding. Move, Rich, and get Fred out the way because today I got to use my rap AK and spray. Rich certainly, but geek needing confidence. Always on Twitter, man. Retweeting compliments. Yeah, I heard about your league leading dominance, but when I'm in the car, man, it doesn't reach Providence. I know you do your best to entertain, but get a brain. You're as funny as Kevin James, Rich. The Freddie T, I don't got a lot for you, except maybe that your wife is too hot for you. The way that you be dressing, man, that is what not to do. Looking like a dingbat, sounding like a pink cat. I'm saying that everybody plays the fool. That's appropriate for Fred at the JCC pool. Catch him on Comcast, looking half homeless, a legend in his own mind, like Johnny Gomes.
Is 98.5 Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. 6:05, and that, of course, is the great Esoteric, which yesterday when we were reliving our favorite 98-mile moments, I regretted to play that one. That's just fantastic. That's what happens when an actual professional who does that for a living ends up making a 98-mile rap. But
makes the rest of us look terrible. That's the problem.
No, because you expected him to be great.
No, I understand that, but we all do the raps. We all do the thing. We're all feeling really good about ourselves, and then he does that, and we're like, yeah, we basically suck at this.
No, unlike you, I never really felt good about myself. I kind of just
the
expectations are low, I believe.
I felt good about myself right up until the time where you sprung like a battle. Remember, we had him in studio, You're like, okay, now you have to battle rap him with like no preparation time whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, the guy kind of came up in the ranks doing that, and it's almost like a stereotype. You know, you see the movie 8 Mile, and these guys have these, you know, battles, but that's what Esoteric did. So the dude is fast, thinks on his feet, but if you give him time, like if you give him like a week to put something together,
he was phenomenal.
He'll kill you. Yeah. And obviously he did a great job there. But I do, something has to be addressed really quick. And that is that. So for years, when someone would be out of the studio, whether it be me or it'd be Fred, you know, we would come in and we'd have somebody fill in. And sometimes it would be somebody who normally did updates. And I just never thought about it. I had a bunch of people ask me saying, you know, why does Wallach do the updates when someone else is in? And when it's someone who usually does updates like Joe Murray this morning. And I said, well, I just never thought about it. I don't know. I mean, just Wallach comes in, does his job. And I never really thought twice. And then people are like, well, don't you think that he should, you know, you should have him kind of move over to the second chair. And I'm like, well, sure, I guess, but I never really thought about it. I'm like, okay. And now this morning, my man,
I got a whole new avalanche of calls yesterday after you played that.
We got some big D energy going on here.
I swear to God.
BDE.
I swear to God.
Do me a favor. Weaver go on Twitch, and it is just, if it was a cane, he'd be swinging it right now.
That's right. Everyone get the F out of my way this morning. I'm in the beach chair. Look out. Yeah.
It is great. And, you know, I'm glad. Good. You know what? I like it. It's like, you know, I find it. First of all, I feel like an a-hole if it's something that we should have been doing all these years. I just never thought about it. And you know me, it's like I come into the show, I'm in the other room, I'm doing all my stuff.
Well,
and when
all
I come
that.
In.
We all just come in, we all know what we have to do.
Right.
We skate our own wing, we hang up the equipment, and we go home at the end of the day. And it just never happened. It was fine. It wasn't like I was sitting there fuming at on the other side of the room.
No, but it wasn't just, until like a couple of the listeners, like, you know, every once in a while I'll do like a Q&A thing on Twitter. And they're asking about it, and I kind of felt like an ass. I was like, I never really thought about it. You know, I mean, as I said, I come in from the other room. You know, I'm preparing the stuff in the morning, and I sit down and just like, oh, okay, great, that's right. Joe Murray's here this morning, awesome. And usually I know beforehand who's going to be here, but I just don't even think about that. I'm more thinking about what we're going to talk about that day. Is the audio all ready? And now that it's like this, I have to be honest, I'm kind of enjoying this because...
I mean, stand before you, John Wallach, magician.
Yeah, those first couple of years were great.
I haven't seen you like this, like feathered.
I don't know. No, hold on. Let's stop this for a second. First of all, Dan O'Brien comes in and immediately starts giving me crap. Like, no hello, no good morning, no nothing. It's, look at this swinging so-and-so over here on the other side of the room. Just
John's wearing a Big Johnson t-shirt. He's like,
I'm just sitting here. I didn't even say anything. And I'm getting crap. Even Nick Jamelli comes in and is like, hey, how you doing?
Because this is the first time, right? Yeah,
it only took 10 years. Now, you know what I mean?
You see, the thing is, this is going to happen today, tomorrow, and Friday, and then it's going to be another decade before I sit here again. So I might as well get it all in while I can.
God, I just thought it was so great. It has been since... that photograph was taken of you with Dickie Barrett and Jimmy Kimmel in studio where you had the very fortunate pleat
in
your
pants.
That
was not a pleat.
I haven't seen you this happy and confident.
My friend.
I haven't seen you this happy
Chicks
and confident
come running.
Since the inappropriate pleat photo.
Why is that inappropriate? I don't understand why that's inappropriate.
Inappropriate isn't the correct word. I would say the very
it's
advantageous
glorious.
To
it's
John
real
Wall.
And spectacular. What? Are you jealous? What's the problem?
Well, yeah. I mean, if the pleat was real, sure, who wouldn't be jealous? I mean,
exactly.
John Holmes would be jealous.
Damn right.
But I mean, I got to be honest. I'm enjoying this morning. There's a confidence coming from the eagle, which I'm truly liking this. I am.
Good.
Now, it might drive me crazy tomorrow, but right now.
Okay, good.
But I was
so doing my best not to piss you off.
So I said, don't let Wall get comfortable, Rich. He's coming for your spot.
Well, I'm a good 20 feet closer.
He's already off the Grandy spot, you know.
I mean, he's working his way up. We know how that is. I mean, he's basically just got like that knife in his back. Get out of my way. I'll take these games. Well, this is yesterday was obviously a fun day to do radio. It was. I couldn't stop listening. At some point, I had to, and I was really, really tired because the way the normal schedule of the show works is that, you know, we, and John, I don't know how different your schedule is from mine, but I go to bed like around like 11:30 each night because there's games to watch and things like that.
Same.
And then, you know, me, I try to get here by like 4, so I get up maybe around like 2:45 or
so. Not the same. I do not get here at 4.
So I don't get to sleep that much. And then, but in the afternoon, I like to take like at least an hour, like an hour and a half long nap. And I remember yesterday getting home, and because of all the production stuff that was being done, I hadn't slept that much the night before, so I wanted to go sleep. But I found myself listening to the station with Gresh and Zolak, and when they were reliving the stuff off Radio Row, I said Gresh because we talked about him yesterday for the 10th anniversary thing with Bertrand and Zolak, and I heard them doing the stuff from Radio Row, and that was so funny and it was so interesting. And then they went into the thing with the marathon, and to be honest, they played audio from that day that I've never heard. I remember, you know, the day after everything that happened and when it all went off. Like, I heard that break from us on the air that morning. And that's something that I think that after that happened, I was like, I don't think I ever want to hear that again. And I never went back and listened to it, never did that. And when they played that, it was just like a punch to the gut. I mean, what that noon hour that they put together yesterday was just some of the most powerful radio I've heard in a long, long time. And they revisited all the stuff that happened on there. And to be quite honest, it was at a point where I almost had to turn it off when I heard me talking. Like that, I was like, I can't, I don't want to listen to this. I don't want to relive it. But I mean, it's a testament to Jim Louth and the rest of their show to be able to put that together. And so after that was done, I'm like, okay, I have to turn it off. And then I ended up turning it back on during the Deflategate stuff and the John Henry stuff, and that was phenomenal. The John Henry thing is astounding to me. And I don't know if I mentioned this on the air yesterday, but Mark Bertrand had tweeted out a picture of John Henry. So if you don't know the full story, you didn't hear it yesterday. John Henry, in the early days of the station, got so pissed about what Felger and Mass were saying about the Red Sox that he drove across town and demanded to come in studio and come on the air. Now, why that's outrageous is obviously obvious. The owner of a team coming to the station and doing that is pretty unheard of. But the thing that made it double crazy was that we weren't the Red Sox station. Like, like there's another station that was in town that paid millions upon millions of dollars to have the rights to the Red Sox. And John Henry decided not to go there. He came here. So there was a tweet yesterday morning that Mark Bertrand put out and said that one of my favorite moments was when John Henry arrived at 98.5 The Sports Hub. And the old program director of WEEI at the time, named Jason Wolf, retweeted and said, it wasn't my favorite moment.
No. No. That was kind of the, okay, everything is changing.
Yeah.
Things are turning. You know, the owner came here instead of there. And just real quick, getting back to the noon hour yesterday, I too listened to every second of it, and I echo your sentiment. I think Jim did a fantastic job. But your connection to this is much more personal than just about everybody else out there. And I understand you needing to turn away from it. But for the rest of us who, fortunately for us, did not have that personal connection, if you understand what I'm saying.
Sure, sure.
I mean, the second bomb went off right outside your front door. And maybe you should tell the story about getting your family out of there again.
I can't.
I know.
I can't. And that's why.
I get it. It's fascinating for those of us who were fortunate enough to get a chance to talk to you and just see that incident through your eyes. It is a fascinating story to go through, and if you don't want to talk about it again, I understand and I appreciate it, but hearing that over again and remembering your connection to it, on top of all the other personal stuff you were going through with Mary at that time, is just, it's one of those moments in life that you look back at and you're like, I can't believe I was a part of that, or I lived through that.
It's strange, too, because, you know, I even yesterday after the show, I ran into some listeners, and they came up and they were talking about the day and all that stuff, and they started mentioning things about, you know, hearing the show, and they, you know, obviously mentioned the stuff that we had played with Charlie Sheen and everything yesterday, and then they mentioned a little bit of that, and it got me thinking about, you know, when you kind of get into this business, there's usually like a line that you toe between sharing your life and keeping some stuff private to yourself. But I've just learned that over the years, this stuff just, you have to talk about a lot of it. And I think that maybe 95% of my life, and Fred is, as well, and I know John, you as well, has gotten out of us because there's just, you can't not talk about certain things that are huge going on in your life. And it's really weird because it's almost kind of it's strange when people you don't know come up to you and start talking about things that are really deeply personal. And I remember, you know, when I think back at that day, and I don't like talking about it too much. And as I said, after that happened, like hearing it yesterday, it was tough for even me to listen to, and I didn't want to. As a matter of fact, I didn't realize that tape still existed. And I remember there's only one other moment that I just remember I never wanted to hear again, and that was when I had to come on the air and I had to talk about what was going on with Mary. And I lost it. I remember it was one time in the year I just absolutely lost it. But there's something that's kind of cleansing about that, because once it got out and once you talked about something that was just so heavy, the amount of support that comes back, it's like almost like the universe spins on its head. You know what I mean? It's this thing where out of this pit that you feel, all of a sudden, all of these people fill it. And I remember that, the amount of tweets, especially when like Mary was sick, you know, like supporting her and everything through it. And, you know, I mean, it was pretty, I mean, it got pretty bad there for a bit. And then after that happened, you know, the whole city got together. And, you know, I won't forget the Renee Rancourt thing where everyone was singing together, and I'll never forget how nice people were to anyone that was involved and how nice they were to my family. As I said, it's strange putting myself in the story because there's so much more and there's so many worse things that happen.
But you have your own perspective.
But it's the only thing I have.
Look, you went through a lot more than a lot of other people did. And I understand what your point is, but hearing what you have to say is important to a lot of people.
It was weird, but I just want to, the one thing I did want to say is that what Jim Louth and that show did yesterday was awesome.
Yes.
I mean, it was great.
That's the bottom line. Yes.
And on top of that, too, I found the rest of the day wildly entertaining. And the Felger and Maz stuff was fairly hysterical. And hearing some of the Deflategate takes is still whatever. Deflategate was a gift that turned into a curse. If anyone who worked here at the station, it was like you had this this unbelievable story that no one could believe. And you want to talk about a whole city turning into a giant middle finger. It was that was the definition of us against them. And then after about a month of documents and having to read all this crap, it just became a curse. And I remember at one point, Fred and I looked at each other. We sit on the air. We said, I'm not talking about Deflategate unless there's some sort of significant news that comes out. I'm not going with every single judgment that doesn't really mean anything and some sort of guy who makes a comment. And we had to just cut it off. And I remember we stopped talking about Deflategate like in the middle of all of it because it just sucked after a while. After a while, it's like there's nothing more you could have said about
it. Well, the best part about it was we had Michael Hurley on staff
at the time.
And anytime anything big happened, we still didn't have to talk about it. So we just brought Hurley in, and he would talk about it.
All right, we're way past our breaks, and I blame it on you, John, being in that chair. All right, we'll do that real quick, and we'll talk about the Red Sox. Everything that usually goes wrong for the Red Sox went right last night. It was bizarro Red Sox world. We'll get to that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub. Damn it, I want to be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Kutcher and Rich on 95, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Kutcher and Rich.
.5 Sports Hub. It is Rich and Big Johnson. Joe Murray's again. And as I was saying, it was bizarro Sox last night where everything in the past had gone wrong. It actually went right.
There's a shot deep to right field in the corner and kiss it goodbye. Jackie Bradley stings one and the Red Sox are back in the lead. 7-6 here in the 10th.
Not even a bango? We didn't get one of those. Oh, that's right. He wasn't in the booth last night.
No, Eck wasn't there last night.
Of course. That's why we didn't get some sort of gem from him. That is Nesson, and there are types of games that the Red Sox lose in 2019. That seemed like one of them. With a lead blown in the bottom of the ninth, you just knew it was over. But then Jackie Bradley Jr. saves the day, making it 7-6. And then you truly believe the crap was going to hit the fan when Cashner, who had just been demoted to the bullpen, came in the 10th to try for the save. And if you saw it through the fingers trying to cover your eyes, this is what ended up happening.
And a 2-2 to Perez. Struck him out, and the Red Sox win it. 7-6, the final score tonight in Cleveland.
And how about that, Alex Cora? You're a genius. But after all the wrong times, I mean, it was like...
All right, the tying run was on second base with one out. It wasn't like...
There was a base-running blunder.
Honest to God, it wasn't...
Did he get the save?
Everything went right.
Well, he got the save, but they should have been over in the ninth.
Yeah, no.
Did he get the save?
All right. You say everything
Bango.
Used to go wrong with the Red Sox went right. They blew a 6-1 lead. And Chris Sale, as good as he was for about four innings, reverted back to Chris Sale of the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bullpen, Workman, blew the game in the ninth. All of these things have continually happened over the last 3 months.
Did they leave with a W?
They did.
They did.
The one, that's the one thing
Bango
that was different.
And, Bango, yes. Indeed.
Listen, they did, Bango. But Alex Cora has been absolutely terrible as a manager of late. Like, it's been really bad.
What could he do?
There's nothing he can do.
Like, I see, I can't pinpoint one.
I mean, I'll give you an analogy. On Sunday, they had this guy Kevin Owings at the plate.
Chris Owings, whatever his name is.
We don't even know who he was, but they had an opportunity in the ninth inning. They could have pinched hit him later in the game, but they used Brock Holt and Mookie Betts. The guy comes up with a chance to win the game. They can't pinch hit for him because they used the other two guys to pinch run. Like, that's bad. That's bad managing.
And isn't that problem number 4,000 on a list? Like, no. I mean, you just think of it, because to me, it goes directly to the players, and it almost goes directly to the players after the trade deadline, and nothing happened. Like, you could, there is a noticeable lack in play and just a. What's the best way to say it? Malaise.
No, we talked about it. It's called mental weakness is what it's called. Yeah. They absolutely quit on the GM that didn't help them. I mean, the GM deserves a lot of the blame for not getting someone for the bullpen, but the players, after about a week, decided, you know what? We're not good enough this year. That's it. We won last year. That's enough. We're good.
Well, after all the wrong type of history that has been made by this team over the last season, yesterday we saw the right side made on the pitcher's mound.
1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. And Chris Sale has reached 2,000 strikeouts in the fewest innings in Major League history. He's done it here tonight in Cleveland, and the Red Sox lead it 2-0.
So Sale did it in 1,626 innings. You know who's number two?
Pedro.
Did it with 1,711. The rest of the top five, pretty good company. Randy Johnson, Scherzer, Kershaw, and then number six, if you want to go that deep. You got Nolan Ryan there. What is the?
I was just gonna say what happened to Pedro the rest of his career after he did that. Like, I mean, they're on the same trajectory, right?
Yeah.
And listen, I throw this out all the time as a would you rather. Would you rather have Chris Sale for the next 5 years of $30 million or Tom Brady for the next 5 years of $30 million?
Dude, nobody wanted the Chris Sale signing. Like, I mean, it's one of those things that when it happened, I don't think there's anybody who outside of Dombrowski and the ownership that was like, yes, glad we're locked in on this guy. And obviously, I mean, he did a ton to you know, you knew that this was going to happen, that he was going to break down. But yesterday it was nice. It was a feel-good moment in the middle of a season of crap, except for, of course, there is one guy who is utterly ridiculous and continues to be this season.
There's a line shot into left field, headed back toward the wall, sailing back it goes, off the wall, another run is in, Bradley scores, right behind him, Mookie Betts, he scores. Rafael Devers is 4-for-4, and the Red Sox lead it 6-1.
And the gall of Alex Cora asking to hit and run.
And it doesn't stop there, because he ended up going 6-for-6 with 4 doubles and 3 RBI. It raised his batting average to .325.
Yeah, he's in the top 5 in the American League in batting average. And the best part about it is, you remember when he came up, he used to pull everything. I mean, Joe, you saw it last night. I know, Rich, you didn't watch the game. Joe, you saw it last night. Honest to God, how many balls were hit the other way hard?
Yeah.
That's what this kid does now. And the Red Sox have control of him for 4 more years.
Well, along with Xander, it's truly a crime that these two are having what looks like wasted seasons. Just a stud this guy's turned out to be.
The offense in general has been just really good.
Yeah.
The pitching sucks. Yeah, that's the problem.
But
the pitching is horrible.
Well, here's Chris Sale on hitting 2K yesterday.
It's cool. It's special. You know, I'm a real big fan of stats and numbers and stuff like that. But, you know, I appreciate it. I think it's cool. A lot of people put in a lot of hard work to get me here. And, you know, obviously, I appreciate all them. And had some good catchers along the way. So, you know, good pitching coaches, good managers letting me get out there and stay out there. Good trainers keeping me out on the field. So, you know, as a whole, So
another strange development during yesterday's game, after Cashner was yanked from the starting lineup, or the starting rotation, rather, it was announced before the game that Nathan Eovaldi was going to start in his place today, apparently. Mm-hmm. But no, he came in and did some relief work instead. Now Brian Johnson is reported to start. Yep. Is that correct? He's going to. Yes. Okay. So who knows what the hell is going on? But Alex Cora, here's him talking about Eovaldi yesterday, and maybe he's speaking in hyperbole.
Pretty solid, yeah. I mean, we tried to stay away from him the whole time, but I thought that inning was probably, I don't want to sound dramatic, whatever, but it was probably the biggest inning of what we're trying to accomplish. So I decided, you know what, we're on it now. And whatever happens tomorrow, it happens tomorrow. But I felt there we needed to, Barnes to get an out. It didn't happen. JT to get an out and then go to Nate. And he did an outstanding job.
Biggest inning of the season indeed. But there you go. Brian Johnson I guess taking a break from fronting AC/DC. He's going to take the mound for an early one in Cleveland. The first pitch is at 110, and I yesterday was like Hard Knocks and all that stuff, so I didn't watch it. I watched like an inning or two, but I'm kind of torn between not wanting to watch this team at all because you know that they're out of it, and then kind of watching just to see how bad it gets.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay,
that's me. I have no. There's no glory. There's no good feeling about watching the Red Sox, and yet I continue to do it. I watched the Red Sox, and I didn't enjoy yesterday's win. I saw all the bad parts, and that's what my life has become. A, I don't know why I'm still watching Red Sox games, but B, when I do, I look for bad stuff now, and I openly root for things bad to happen so that the management of this team will see. It will become, the evidence will become so overwhelming that come the winter, Dave Dombrowski will be forced to look at this team for what it actually is, not what he thought it was going to be, and the projection he has that I'm smarter than you and you're not seeing all the correct things.
If he's still here.
If he's, and that's he's the gone. Other thing, I think he's gone too. I think ultimately he's going to leave, and we said this earlier in the week, Joe, the one thing he has left to do is to spend more of John Henry's money and make sure Mookie Betts doesn't go anywhere.
I can't believe they're fighting for a winning record. Like, that to me is just this team with almost the same exact staff as last year when they won the World Series is fighting just to be over 500.
Four games above 500.
They're not going to finish over 500. They're going to shut guys down in September.
Bullpen's fine, though. The bullpen's fine. Great.
No need for a closer. Brandon Workman's your answer.
Mr. Joe Murray, I need odds on that. I need to find out. Ooh. Over 500. That's something that maybe you can
do. Well, we already took the under in win total, so that's already hit.
All right. Well, maybe you can crack that and find out what kind of odds we'll get on just getting a winning record this season. All right. Rob Gronkowski has got some weird announcement he's going to make. We'll talk about that. And also, Tom Brady loves hoses right after Joe Murray's headlines. 98.5, the
Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 98.5 Sports Hub. So this is an interesting development in the future of Rob Gronkowski. So I'm glad, Joe, I am glad you're in studio this morning, because not only are you one of our gambling experts as one of the Banker Boys, but congratulations on your 50th episode.
Thanks, 50th episode.
How about that?
College football preview this week.
Congratulations. But another reason that I'm glad you're here is because you are also a massive wrestling fan.
Oh, yeah.
And the first thing I thought when I heard that SummerSlam was coming to Boston, I thought to myself, I'm like, okay, so no matter what, in my opinion, even if Rob Gronkowski came back to play, that's going to be it. Like, this would be the last season. If he came back in December or whenever that date is, the last date he can come back to be on the team. If he came back and he played in the postseason, win or lose, I figured that's it. That's it for Rob Gronkowski. And what a perfect place for him to come and basically make basically get the biggest pop. Put it in Boston, where Rob Gronkowski is most loved. That was just kind of my theory when it was announced. You know all the intricacies and behind the scenes, all that stuff. So I'm not sure whether that's even a theory that's worth subscribing to.
It is, actually. Mojo Rawley, who he was with at WrestleMania a year ago, said recently that Rob still considers wrestling and is still interested in doing it. I don't know if this announcement's that, but, you know, kind of connecting the dots here. I mean, he could start something for a year, get some storyline maybe around WrestleMania, like get involved in something, and then the two biggest events of the year are SummerSlam and WrestleMania. So maybe he could do something at Mania and then have a build-up for SummerSlam and Boston. But by the way, in Boston, like when they were here a couple of weeks ago, or a couple of months back, we all thought Rob Gronkowski was going to be there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So maybe they're saving it for a four-day weekend that's going to be here next summer.
Yeah.
So, like, there'll be four nights in Boston. How's Rob Gronkowski not going to be a part of that?
I know. And that's the first thing that popped to my head. But then again, that might be my naivete as far as how wrestling all works. It just seemed like the timelines fit. But yesterday it was announced that Gronk's going to be holding this invite-only press conference in New York City on August the 27th. What is that, like 2 weeks from now?
Two weeks from yesterday?
Okay.
Well, first of all, let's stop it there. Invite-only. Who gets invited? Why is there a select list of people get invited?
Well, it said media, I believe.
Well, no, invite only. I saw the same thing, and that's the first thing that I thought of. Why do we have to pare down the guest list?
All right. Well, it's on August 27th, and he's going to, quote, announce his next chapter. The announcement is going to come at 9:30 in the morning, and the questions are going to continue. Actually, no. The announcement's going to be at 9:30, and then he'll take questions at 10:30, which means this is an hour-long announcement.
No, it's not.
Reading the press.
I know that, but you think Rob Gronkowski's going to speak for an hour?
No. It just means that whatever they're doing and the people around him.
The whole thing is strange. People can only go if they're invited, and a press conference is supposed to last 45 minutes or an hour. Rob Gronkowski could not speak for an hour on anything.
Okay, so Joe Murray, here's what I want you to do, because as I said, you're closest with wrestling and everything else, and you're also good with these numbers. I want you to, if you could, maybe it's sometime in the 7 o'clock hour, make some odds as far as what Rob Gronkowski is going to announce at this press conference.
Okay.
Because to me, I don't think him doing this press conference necessarily means he's not going to be coming back to the Patriots. This could be something like he could be hosting some Nickelodeon show, or he could be doing something that only takes about a month in order to do. Or it might be that he is going to be a contributor to WWE, but it still doesn't keep him from returning in December.
Why is the press conference 2 weeks from now?
Dude, I don't know. And
there's
why do you announce
things
that it's 2 weeks from now?
Yes.
Why do you? Well, I mean, they obviously want to get as much buzz about this as possible. That is strange.
Buzz
though, it's going to be an hour long.
Whatever
they're going to promote. I mean, if
you can't, I mean, the buzz has to, we have to have a 2 week buildup instead of like 3 days.
This has got, I bet.
Press conference Thursday. Be there. What's the big problem?
I bet it's an endorsement. I bet it's some sort of endorsement. I don't even think it's like, because people are saying, is he going into broadcasting? Is he going to announce that? If he was going into broadcasting, they would want that to be out there right away. Like, that's something, like,
sure.
If he was going to be, especially with the season about to start, I don't think they're going to just throw that, you know, wait 2 weeks to build up for an hour-long press conference that he is going to be on, you know, a featured reporter or featured contributor on ESPN sidelines. I don't know what they would do, but that doesn't sound like something that a reputable company like ABC or ESPN or somebody like that would do, have a press conference that lasts an hour for Rob Gronkowski to announce that he's going to just do like a five-minute segment for every game he does once a week.
It's just, the whole thing is so messed up. I
think it's great. And
no,
you know what?
It'll be great for us, but I don't understand any of this. I don't get why we have to wait. I don't get why. It's in New York, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand why it's in New York.
Joe.
I don't understand why people have to get invited.
Come on.
Come on, man.
I don't understand any of this.
You are Mr. Inside Sources.
I'll find out.
You and Lifshatz shake them trees. You go in the dark net, and you guys find out information that doesn't exist to us normal, us internet norms. I need a little something. I need you to do a little digging, okay? Maybe in the 7 o'clock hour. Mm. Show us what you found.
Gotcha.
Okay, good.
Done.
Okay. Internet attack dog over
I
here.
Like, I like this.
Let's see what we got. By the way, the Danny Etling experiment is over. Which sucks. Because I've
got a 4.740. He's trying to make it as a slot receiver. That's a problem.
In all seriousness, though, he might have been worse than Tim Tebow. I'm not kidding. No, really. He was that bad. And last year when he ran for the touchdown, like, everyone freaked out about it the preseason.
Sure.
He sucked.
Okay.
Like, he was bad.
Tebow from... I mean, people forget how bad Tebow was when he was here. Remember during the one practice when he threw the ball into the stands?
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, he actually threw a ball into the stands, which is impossible. Like, how do you throw up and I don't think it was even tipped or anything. How do you throw that poorly where it ends up reaching the stands? I don't know. But however bad Etling is, I guarantee he didn't throw one into the first row. But there was a little moment of tomfoolery yesterday, and that was the Patriots having a little fun. Rookie players ended up diving for loose balls while Tom Brady sprayed them suckers down with a hose. In slow motion.
I think I got it now.
As they slip, slide, slippity all over the place, Tom Brady just laughed with a grin. As a matter of fact, somebody tweeted out the story, and Tom Brady just retweeted and said, I can explain. Yes, you can.
Please do.
Please do there. And I guess there's video of some of the young assistant coaches on the team, like
Gerard Mayo, too,
watering down the field to make it like nice and super. Okay, the only thing I'll say to that is, why would you, that doesn't seem a little dangerous? And that's kind of like a non-football guy thing to say. But if you want to keep these guys healthy, like having it to where like the you like slick down the field, and you're having these rookies go out there, and the whole point is for them to trip and fall and slide on their ass. Doesn't that seem like a little?
Come on.
Strange. It's not really a football guy thing to say, but...
That's very true. And you have just marked yourself with a big stamp on your forehead.
Dude,
say,
I'm watching Hard Knocks, and you can't fart on Derek Carr. Like, there's all these players that are just like, you can't...
That's different.
Okay, well, how about, like, the non-padded practices? Like, Gruden was getting in their face for barely, like, touching a guy and knocking him over. They're freaking out about injuries, and it was the one thing that kind of hit me as weird. But then again, if you got super six and Tom Brady just like moving that hose back and forth. Let's go to, this is not a bad suggestion. Jeff, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Thanks, man.
No, my opinion, my thought is Gronkowski's taking all this time off, and you know he does have an in with wrestling. So my opinion is, what would be your thoughts on Vince McMahon? He's been clearing up some money, and him buying the AFL and turning it into the XFL, and having Rob Gronkowski be the commissioner of the league. Your thoughts,
Commissioner Gronk?
Well, I don't know about commissioner. But Rob Gronkowski having a major part in the XFL might be the most realistic suggestion I've heard so far.
I've began a list.
Okay.
Oh, we have a
don't
list.
Don't read the odds yet.
Okay. Oh, what?
I want to see the odds.
I like the last one. The last one's pretty good, Joe.
That is a great suggestion, because I mean, first of all, if you are Vince McMahon and you want to launch this the right way, you need big names. You need a couple of big names to give their seal of approval, because we saw what happened with the AFL. When your biggest name is, oh God, who was the dude, the running back that you ended up falling in love with? Trent Richardson?
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Like, when your biggest name is Trent Richardson?
fall in love with Trent Richardson.
You've got an issue, and no one's going to really want to. And I know the first week, apparently the ratings were good, but look what happened to that league.
Yeah, it fell apart.
He's got to come out with star power, and to have Rob Gronkowski's name attached to either the broadcast or some sort of position where he is going to be front center is the smartest move Vince McMahon can make.
I think sideline reporter would be perfect, kind of like a Tony Siragusa type. You know, I don't know who they'll put in the booth, but that was one of the issues in the past. Like, they didn't like who they had, so they ended up going with Jim Ross and Jesse the Body Ventura.
Right.
So, like, you know, but then it became a whole WWE thing. But yeah, I mean, imagine Gronk on the sideline during some of these games. I think actually it'd be pretty insightful, and you know, it'd be a character or like a studio host.
Yeah,
I think he could do it,
and maybe he could just at one point just bust out a hose down all the players in the field. Dad, that'd be like a penalty, you know.
It was funny, though, Brady yesterday, when they were talking about the hose, he goes, I can explain. Yeah. Like, you know, he kind of thought, just like how you're thinking about the hose.
I'm surprised he didn't put those little eye emojis. Like, I can explain. I'm a naughty little devil. All right, we'll get to this, all that other stuff involving hoses next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
There were two things that I remember being
like must-see television.
Toucher and Rich on Twitch TV. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It is Toucher and Rich, and Joe Murray's here in studio with me and Wallach this morning. And I saw this. There's a couple of kind of funny nuggets that came out yesterday about the Patriots. First of all, everyone knows Rob Parker, who is that guy on Fox Sports. And really, the only time anyone mentions his name is when he says something fairly ridiculous.
He starts screaming, "Hey, pay attention to me! Yeah. I'm saying the, what the, who's the, who's the bald guy, the host from Houston?" Not Rob Parker. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And that guy, please pay attention to me. I'm going to say really stupid stuff until you'll pay attention to me and drive up the ratings to my show.
And the only time that, I mean, if you Google his name, I guarantee you the only time that there's stories written about him is when he's making some sort of ridiculous take about Tom Brady. And I did find something interesting. If you don't know Rob Parker, this is from last year, before last season. This is kind of just par for the course for the type of stuff that he says.
I'm not one of these guys that likes to sound the alarm, but sound the alarm. The bottom is going to fall out. We saw it last year, their defense, 24th ranked. Did you see them get mopped up by a backup quarterback in the Super Bowl? Yes. Yeah, They're not that good.
Was the Eagles defense good?
Yes.
Did the Patriots punt in the Super Bowl?
It doesn't matter who won the game. Did they make the big play against Tom Brady?
They did. They were still in the Super Bowl. The question is, if you are not going to pick the Patriots, are you going to pick somebody else to win that division?
I might pick the New York Jetropolitans.
Please stop.
I'm not stopping.
How many drugs have you taken?
No, I haven't taken any drugs.
Okay. So, I mean, the fact that he just went with the Jets is kind of funny, but, you know, we know that he's a troll. But the interesting part of what Rob Parker said yesterday, however, was the guy who was defending the Patriots. And that person is Eric Mangini, who I think, if he could do it all over again, obviously wouldn't have done things the way that he did it.
You think?
I mean, you want to talk about just having the blessing of Bill Belichick and being in his inner circle and just crapping on it. Mm. And I can't think. And you know, Bill has been... There aren't many things that are unforgivable in this industry. What Eric Mangini did to Bill Belichick is something that, I mean, even like the person, like the biggest man, the guy with like the best heart, I don't think you could ever forgive Eric Mangini.
Think of all the people who've come back.
right.
He is out.
And he is out. But I think that Mangini wants more than anything is to be back in. And I remember when Mangini first started doing some sort of commentary on TV, he wasn't very good. I mean, he wasn't really good at all. But he's kind of gotten a little bit better. And yesterday, it was Eric Mangini, of all people, who had to defend the Patriots.
Can I give you my glasses? Because obviously you haven't been watching Tom Brady, okay? And all of his numbers are down. And I'm going to put my glasses on. Last year, passer rating down. Touchdown passes down. Interceptions up. Yards per game down. Completion percentage down. Yards per pass down. Did you watch him in the Super Bowl? Did you watch how awful Tom Brady was?
Can we just talk about your hashtag?
What?
Inconsistent Rob Parker.
No, I'm just...
Hashtag inconsistent Rob Parker. So the last segment we did, you didn't want to hear about Dak's stats, right? Dak's stats didn't matter in relationship to Carson Wentz. It was, do you watch the tape? Who would you want? Who would you take? And then inconsistent Rob Parker pivots to, this is down, the stats are down, this
Jenny,
is down.
No, no. Wait a minute.
You know what's up? Another Super Bowl banner.
It's pretty good.
That is very good.
And Mangini, I mean, that was, and I don't know how scripted that was, how much he was ready to go.
It's the matter-of-fact way he said it. It's just like, he swatted it away, you know, like... Take a pick. Dikembe Mutombo blocking a shot. It was great.
Just he is...
Get out of here with
John
that.
John Cusack in Say Anything, holding up the boombox outside of Belichick's
perfect
window.
Yeah.
He wants... He's playing In Your Eyes, and he wants to publicly let him know, I'll do anything to get back in that circle again. And I wonder, because as you said, there's been people who have burned Bill Belichick before that he has become friendly with once again. We've seen examples of this.
Or have coached again, have come back. Players, Brandon Spike said some things, he came back. I mean, there's been so many.
And it's he's, for as gruff of a dude as he is, he's a fairly forgiving guy. That's the one dude who I'm looking at and just going, I don't know if he's ever going to be let back in the circle. Yeah. But I, you know what? If this continues, I just want to continue to see him grovel and just do everything he can to get him back
in. It's going
to
take a long time. I mean, this is just the first step on a thousand-step path.
Oh, sure. But he wants that more than anything. Okay, no commercials, just the headlines. And I heard something yesterday that Zolak and Bertrand played when they were doing their recap that I hadn't heard in a while, and it got me kind of it made me laugh. It was a moment of our show that they played during the Radio Row thing, and I'm sitting here listening to it, and all of these old feelings are coming back about just how ridiculous. It might be one of the more ridiculous moments on our show that they talked about yesterday. We'll get that right after Joe Murray's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.